Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 5. The Son superior to angels. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father," or again, "I will be his Father and he will be my Son"? And again, who God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last for ever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent out to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello. Cool. Let's pray before we dive into God's word. Lord, please help us to understand your word today. Please help us to have clarity on things. Please allow it to change our hearts and change the way we look at you. Amen.
Amen.
As I was reading through the book of Hebrews in preparation for this series, the main thing that massively stood out to me was Jesus. This book is heavily written on who Jesus is and how important he is. Over the coming weeks, we will see how important Jesus is and how supreme he is over some of the most famous characters from before he was born. Some of the most important characters from the Bible. There is no one like Jesus. We saw partly last week how supreme Jesus is. We saw that Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's word. This week, we will see that he is even more important than angels, and then we'll see what that means to us. This book was likely written to a Jewish community, and over the coming weeks we will see multiple areas from the Old Testament, such as Moses, the sacrificial system, and angels being spoken about. In all these areas, the Hebrew writer is speaking about the superiority of Jesus. Jesus is greater than all these things. Jesus is greater than all that was deemed great from the Old Testament. The writer is likely mentioning all these things because they were important parts of the Old Testament. The letter of Hebrews was actually as well likely written between 60 AD and 70 AD. This was a time of Nero, an awful Roman emperor. He was famous for debaucheries, political murders, but most notably, the persecution of Christians. Historical documents even show that he used a massive fire in Rome to blame Christians and persecute them en masse. It was an awful time for Christians. And maybe at risk of being hurt and even killed, the friends of Judeo-Christians, so Jews who had become Christians, become followers of Christ, and maybe false teachers and their Jewish friends who didn't believe in Jesus were saying, isn't being Jewish enough? Look at all these great things in the Old Testament. Jesus' message can't be that important. Well, today we're going to see that we must pay attention to the message of Jesus, because he is supreme over the angels, and his message is the ultimate saving message. So firstly, we see that Jesus is supreme over even angels. The writer of Hebrews hits us with multiple quotations from the Old Testament showing the supremacy of Jesus. Our first point today we see from the passage is that Jesus is supreme over even the angels. In our first three quarters of our passage today, the writer of Hebrews quotes multiple Old Testament passages showing that Jesus is supreme. Verse 5 says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'? Or again, 'I will be his father and he will be my son'?" So, 1 point to anyone who can find the passage where God says this to an angel. Where does God say, "Today I'll become your father"? No one? That's right. God never said this to an angel. He said this about Jesus. The writer is saying to us that this is said about Jesus, not the angels. And verse 6 says, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" We see two truths about Jesus in this verse. Firstly, that Jesus is the firstborn. This doesn't mean that he was made like you or me. It means that he was first before anyone else. Does it not make sense then that the following verses are there? "All the angels will worship him." The angels are below Jesus and they will worship him. Verse 7, in speaking of angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." Verse 7 shows us that these creatures are extraordinary servants. The splendor of the angels is shown here. Doesn't it make it even more incredible? Jesus is greater than these wonderful servants. Verse 8 and 9, it says, But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." These verses show us that Jesus is God. This is God the Father speaking to God the Son. God the Son, Jesus, is to be sat on the throne. These created beings, these angels are great, but Jesus is incomparable. He is supreme. The angels are to be servants, but the Son, Jesus, is to be set above all. His throne will last forever. If there was any doubt, there shouldn't be now, but Jesus is supreme over even angels. The passage goes on to say, verse 10, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." Jesus was there at the beginning. It is through him that all creation was created. Even the heavens are the work of his hands. Jesus is behind everything on earth today. Jesus will remain forever. Everything else perishes. There are over 4,000 tigers left in the world, mighty creatures. There used to be many more. There are only roughly 500 Siberian tigers today. One day they will all be gone. Everything perishes. However, Jesus doesn't. He has been around always, and he will never perish. Like a garment, things constantly change. Fashion constantly changes. I know that myself. As you can probably see, I am a fashionista. Jesus doesn't. Isn't it incredible? Some people view Jesus as a good man who died, but this passage shows a very, very different attitude towards him. To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Again, I ask you, can you find the place where God says this to an angel? And you can't. It's a rhetorical question saying it isn't there. "Sit at my right hand" was never said to any angel. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Angels are there to serve those who will inherit salvation. Jesus is God who gives salvation. Why has the writer hit the Hebrews with so much Old Testament? Well, it shows just how supreme Jesus is. They would have been Jewish readers. And the writer is using a lot of Old Testament as his evidence. If there are friends or false teachers telling them that the angels are great enough and that Jesus isn't worth it, they would be using the Old Testament. The writer of Hebrews is just using the same ammunition. He's using the Old Testament to show the superiority of Jesus. Well, why has the writer said so much about the superiority of Jesus? In chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Therefore. This is there in the middle of the verse. It connects this sentence to what came before. We must pay careful attention to Jesus because of how great he is. He is supreme and above even angels. That's why. We must listen because he is greater than the angels. The angels are great created servants within the boundaries of creation. Jesus is supreme over them. So pay attention to him. Listen to him. This leads to my second point today from the passage. Pay attention to the saving message from the Supreme Son. In our second point today, we see that we must pay attention to the saving message from the Supreme Son. Verse 2 says, "For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment." In former days, in the Old Testament, the message was, "You will be punished." This is in contrast to what it is now. This is the new message, is that how much worse will you be punished if you reject the one who brings salvation? We actually see that the angels brought messages in some other passages from the Bible. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, it says, "The Lord came down from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones, angels." Galatians 3:19 says, "The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator." As we see from other passages in the Bible, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, angels were those who delivered the law of God, the Old Testament law. These were rules that God put in place to live for him. It didn't get any more important than the Sinai stories for Jews. That was the peak. It doesn't get any better than when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And who did it? Angels. So they brought a massive, huge message. But as we see from verse 2, the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. They brought a message of punishment. It's a true message. The writer of Hebrews doesn't deny this. The people who wrote to probably believed it. So the writer of Hebrews asks, How much greater is it if you reject the one who is greater than the angels and brings the message of salvation? This law you believe is true and was delivered by angels. You trust in this. So how much worse if you reject the one who brings a saving message? It's so much worse. And what is it that the people of the Hebrews have heard? Verse 3, the salvation announced by the Lord, confirmed to us by those who heard him. This is the message that Jesus brought. It doesn't make sense to accept what the angels said and not what Jesus said. The angels brought a message of punishment. Jesus brings a message of salvation and punishment alongside it if you reject it. It does not make sense to accept the angels and their message of destruction, yet not accept and trust the message of salvation coming from the greater Jesus. Considering it was a time of danger for Christians, maybe friends and family were saying to the Christian relatives, we have great angels in the Old Testament. They're great. Angels are enough. Look at the wonderful message they brought. If they knew it properly, they would see that the angel's message, which was punishment, is not enough. And this section clearly shows us that what Jesus brought was not against the message of the angels, but the part that was needed afterwards. The angel's message on its own was punishment for rejecting God. If you deny the saving message of Jesus, it is so much worse than rejecting the angel's message. And we need to pay careful attention, therefore. We need to pay careful attention to what we have learned, because it is so much worse to reject the one who saves. In life, the more we pay attention to things, the more it helps. If you try and understand something more and more, then it will work out better for you. The more we learn about history, the more we learn about humanity, where it went wrong, we learn not to do the same things again. And likewise with God's word, Jesus' word, it is a must to listen and pay careful attention to Jesus' words. Why? Lest we drift away. This is a warning that the truth of Jesus must be listened to. You need to remind yourself of what you learn about Jesus constantly. Read the Bible constantly. It can only help. If I was to hand you a piece of paper with a number on it, and each month I was to ask you at a random day what the number was, and if you didn't, you would just randomly die, you would try to learn that number as well as possible. I know it's a bit of a silly example, and it's not the same, but we want to pay careful attention to this, because this is, how much worse is it if we do reject it or neglect this salvation? And there are ways we can help each other. We can chat and we can read the Bible together. We have growth groups where we have groups of Christians meeting together and encouraging each other and reminding us about Jesus. And there are even apps with study guides to help us read through the Bible. I use one called Explore. It really helps, because sometimes just reading the Bible, it can be hard and sometimes tedious because it just goes over your head. The writer of the Hebrews asks, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? How great is it if we ignore the one who is above angels? How great is it if we ignore the Son of God? How great is it if we ignore the one who will be worshipped by all angels? How great is it if we ignore the one who is set above all things and sits on the throne of God? How great is it if we ignore the one who creates and sustains all things? How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Verse 3 says, those who heard him, the apostles confirmed to us through what they heard. All the emphasis is on listening to Jesus. They listened to Jesus. Now we must listen to Jesus. What he has to say, what his disciples have to say, and what the Bible has to say is what's important. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging them to pay attention to what they have heard, as it's so much worse to reject this message than any other message. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Please help it to what we listen to today to change our hearts and change our relationship with you. Please help us to pay attention to the message of Jesus and to understand that rejection of it is so much worse than anything else. Amen.